Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi friends, happy fall. I'm your host, Leenie Heiss, and it's so fun to know that we celebrated Bless Our Schools Sunday in thousands of churches around the world. Moms and churches gathered together to pray God's blessing, protection, and favor over our teachers, kids, and schools. Fall kickoffs are totally underway, but of special interest this week is September 25th at See You at the Pole. I discussed See You at the Pole with today's guest, but you can hear my interview with Doug Clark of See You at the Pole on this podcast app. It was episode 15. You can find that link and the show notes for this episode, all the scriptures and resources we discuss on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Today's guest is one of our favorites, Jeff Eckert of Claim Your Campus. Claim Your Campus is one of Moms in Prayer's ministry partnerships, and you're about to hear why. We pray for children and schools, and they get students praying for their own campuses. You will love them. Let's welcome Jeff Eckert to the podcast. Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Yeah, Leah, it's so great to be here, and I'm excited about where this podcast is going, what you've been doing. It's incredible what's happening here.
Well, Fred, I don't know if our listeners even know this, but you and the guys at CYC got us off the ground and launched in the podcast. So you really did birth the Moms in Prayer podcast. We are so grateful to you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give a little plug for ours. I do one called The Thought Factory. It's on students, what students are believing, and we got some great interviews. So check that out. Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? You guys are doing a great job with it.
Well, thanks. We're having a really good time and meeting some really cool people. But Jeff, tell our listeners, if they're not familiar with you, they can go back and listen to podcast number 2 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Hear the first one, but tell us who you are and what you do in case they don't know you.
Yeah, well, Jeff Eckert, that's my name. You can find me on social media if you want. It's hard to spell, E-C-K-A-R-T, but I founded Claim Your Campus 10 years ago. We're going to celebrate our 10th anniversary here in a few weeks, actually, but I have a passion to see students pray at their school. And it started with a group of students. I was a youth pastor in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And in 2005, started some weekly prayer groups with students that wanted to pray at their school. Started to see all these amazing changes on their campuses, even statistical measurable changes. And that just flipped a switch within me. So I saw that for a few years. And then in 2009, left my job, really felt a call from God to raise up a student-led prayer group in every middle and high school. So that's what we've been chasing for the last 10 years. We've got between 35, 40,000 students now praying every week on our app. We just completed a really solid partnership with See at the Pole. We're really excited about that. They're part of our app. Our app is called Campus Prayer. We actually took the name Claim Your Campus off of our app, strangely enough, recently. We overhauled it recently. But students use that technology. They meet at their school once a week and pray. There's so many parallels to Moms in Prayer, which is exciting. And Moms in Prayer, I always tell people, I can't imagine where we would be or even if we would exist if it weren't for Moms in Prayer and Fern Nichols and Sally and the team there. So God has helped and used all these praying moms for all these years. We really believe to lay the foundation for this next generation. And it has been truly remarkable to see students and their passion and how excited they are to pray at their school. And what 10 years ago when we started, it wasn't nearly the way it is now in terms of students being excited to pray. And so we were just as a staff praying yesterday. And I'm going to read Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And that, I think that's the story of Moms in Prayer and Claim Your Campus, that we've had a generation that's been commending the works of God and telling of his mighty acts and lifting that up in prayer. And it has directly raised up now this whole army of students that are coming behind us with a new generation. And it's remarkable. So it is such a privilege to be able to thank Moms in Prayer, to thank you, Lee, for your work and the organization, all the moms and everyone listening. just want to say thank you for your prayers, because it is translating into some direct result that we see today with students in schools.
Oh man, I am sure our listeners are agreeing that that's exactly what we want to hear, is that one generation will launch the next generation, propel them towards the Lord. Jeff, I happen to think you're awesome, but why have you decided to focus your ministry and life on teens? I mean, why spend yourself on teens that are hormonal and changing? I have three in my home right now, so this is a really crazy ministry choice for you. What are you doing and why?
I've been doing it for about 30 years now, so I am truly crazy, I guess. I love it. Everybody has their thing. You know, when I see people that give their lives to numbers and accounting, and I think, how in the world could you do that? And I know people look at me and go, how could you invest your whole life and career in ministry? But it is such a privilege. I love working with students because the cement is still wet and there's still chance to form them. What I tell people is I think the best and most effective theologians need to be working with teenagers because that's when faith is formed in their minds and in their hearts. And if they hear it as a child, it becomes real as they grow into adulthood in that. So I do love that. I like being a part of that. And so I try to encourage churches and ministries. I think we're seeing actually a little bit of a few steps back in next generation ministries. And I'm speaking generally within the church in the United States here, but the budgets have kind of cut back. There's less staffing. And I really want to encourage people listening that I think if there's any time where we needed more resources and more people, it's now. And the other reason, Lee, is because I am a child at heart. I'm just a little kid sometimes. I have an immature side of me that I just can't get rid of. And so that probably helps me do the work I do too.
Oh, I've been to your office. I've seen the back rooms and I know that you guys play too. So there's part of that that is real. What I'm fascinated with, Jeff, is that you're finding that teens really do care about prayer and about things of faith, and they care about their schools. Talk to me about that and overcoming this idea that teens are apathetic about their generation.
Well, Mark chapter 5 is this really crazy story that I think applies to our world today, but it's a man sent for Jesus to come and pray for his daughter. And on the way, he got sidetracked and prayed for this other woman who touched him in the crowd. And then he gets there, and when he goes in, she had already died. And what Jesus said there is he said, she's not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him. And then Jesus went in, and it says in the Gospels there that he touched her. And here's the thing about this generation. A lot of people are looking at this generation saying they're lost, they're gone, there's no hope, and they're dead. And what I really believe, what we need to understand about this generation and every generation, is that this generation is not dead. This generation is just asleep, and they need a touch from God. And as students are praying, we are seeing it's like God is just touching these campuses, that things are happening, that lives are being changed, that people are being drawn. As they're seeing, literally watching students pray, they're being drawn into these groups and joining them. And the stories really are remarkable, that of the faith that is rising up in these students that are praying. And that's a clarion call to our nation that this generation needs to rise up. And before that, in many ways, they need to wake up. And I think that is happening. And I think prayer is going to be that focal point that helps bring this awakening that I talk to leaders all over the country that we believe is about to happen in this generation. I don't know how much listeners would be familiar with the Jesus movement of the 70s. But, you know, 40, 50 years ago, we saw these two catalytic events. First, we saw Woodstock. And that August 15th of this year, as we record this in the fall of 2019, that was a 50-year anniversary. 172 days later was something called the Asbury Revival on February 3rd, 1970. And these two things are linked to me in time for that generation because they were moments in time when God moved in culture. And Woodstock was a moment in time where something happened and culture changed, and not in a lot of ways that we as believers would want. But more significantly was what happened at Asbury when a group of young people started to pray and that touched the nation. And it's time for another movement. It's time for another moment. So it is really critical that we as adults are praying into these students. And as we're praying for schools, we need to pray specifically that God would use the believers in that school to unite know, when we travel and we ask students, do you want to bring change to your school? We talk to young people that are Christ followers. Do you want to bring change to your school? Overwhelmingly, they say yes. They see the need. And then we say, hey, prayer is the way to do that. And we tell them about Claim Your Campus, show them the technology and the app, and they just jump right in and go for it.
What kinds of questions are they asking you about faith and the things that they're facing right now?
They have a lot of questions about what they see every day. They have a lot of questions about the messages they're hearing about sexuality. They're asking questions right now. There's a real surge in the area of life. The millennials turned the corner for us. They're the most pro-life generation we've seen in decades. They're asking questions about life, about what life is. They're talking about gun control. You know, they walk into schools and they're asking questions about that. And I think they're also asking the question, how can I appropriately share my faith? I think that's one of the biggest things they're wrestling with. They're saying, what can we do to appropriately share our faith? And believe it or not, they're not really as afraid to offend people as what we would think they are. We survey thousands of students every summer, and what we're finding is they're not really afraid to offend people, but they want to know how they can show their faith. And what we're seeing is Claim Your Campus is really giving them an outlet in their world. Their world is their campus. I mean, 50% of their waking hours during school year, they're on campus. So that's where their life, their social life, their hub, everything is happening there. And Claim Your Campus is giving them an outlet to be able to do that.
They're asking these questions. I know I hear those questions in my home too. And they're asking, how can we be loving and respectfully disagree? And I'm wondering what you're pointing them to as far as truth is concerned and how they engage truth, their friends, and their faith, really, how they're reconciling this. So, Jeff, coach us here for a minute. When our kids are saying these things, asking these questions, what kinds of things are you saying back to them and how should we respond?
We're trying to help them understand that disagreement doesn't mean that you don't love a person, that you can disagree with someone. And I think a lot of these narratives that they're getting are false in their very premise. And so what we're saying to students is, listen, and I'll give you an example. I have a friend who says it this way. He says, he was raised in the South, and he says, my grandfather raised me. He loved me. He took, you know, took him hunting and fishing and did all these great things with him, like all, you know, a great grandfather would do, and spent time with him. But what my friend says is, he says, my grandfather was a racist, and that was an issue in his life. And he was raised with that. So he kind of inherited that, but it was wrong. And what my friend says is, do I love my grandfather? Absolutely. Does he mean, you know, the world to me? Yes. But do I agree with that area of his life? No, I don't. What we're saying to students is, you can disagree and you can still love someone. And we think that more and more, and I think it's becoming obvious, we're trying to help students understand that the more adamant someone is about defending their beliefs in terms of like a non-biblical worldview, the more progressive they are, even the more maybe militaristic ones, that's showing that there's something deeper in there that's happening. So we're telling students, look beyond the surface comments and things that they're saying that might be offensive to you as a believer, and love them and help them understand and show them, I'm not just going to say that I love you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to display that, I'm going to continue to engage in conversations. And we may not agree, but where those things really need to happen, what we're saying to students is in relationships. The stronger the relationship is, the better that connection will be. There's a lot that are being persuaded by some of the arguments that would be concerning to us at having a traditional biblical view of things like marriage and sexuality. But students at their core that are believers, they know the truth. They just need coached and helped. And we have to walk alongside them. And I think sometimes as adults, we see these unbelievable challenges that these students are facing, and we can just disengage and say, it's just too overwhelming. But we actually have to do the opposite. We have to lean into them and draw near to them. And when you asked earlier, Lee, about, you know, why am I still doing this? You know, after all these years, I'm actually more passionate and more engaged than I've ever been, because the need is there. They need us. These students need to hear truth from people that love Jesus and walk with him, and that can help them navigate. I've spoken personally with about 10 pastors in the last week. And some I know, some I haven't, but we've all agreed there's never been a time there's been more complexity to be a ministry leader and all the things that we're facing in culture. But I would say this, there's never been a time of greater opportunity. And so we can't shy away from these challenges. We have to lean in and engage.
I so appreciate that reframing that needs to happen in our minds to see this amount of opposition or challenges and complexities as opportunities to speak even deeper into our students' lives. I think what's so fun about Claim Your Campus and about Moms in Prayer is that we understand that prayer is a change agent in culture. And you are helping students realize that prayer makes a difference. What kinds of things are you seeing happening as your students are, our students are praying?
The number one thing that we're seeing from my perspective is typically the first thing that does happen when we pray is that the prayer themselves change. And that's really fun to watch. When students start praying, they start changing. And we have four strategies with Claim Your Campus. We have grace, peace, justice, and mercy. And each one of those strategies is connected to five issues at the school. And so when students pray the grace strategy, and these rotate on the app every day. So every student that prays and uses our app, the Campus Prayer app, they're praying, they're uniting with students around the country because they're all praying for the same thing. So they rotate every day. The content refreshes every day. But grace, peace, justice, mercy. When they're praying the grace strategy, they're praying for believers at the school. When they're praying the peace strategy, they're praying over the relational issues at the school. When they pray about justice, they're praying about the environment of the school. And when they pray mercy, they're praying for freedom from all the things that are holding students back. So number one, I would say we're seeing students come alive. One of the issues under the grace strategy to pray for is more bold Christ followers. And it happens in little ways, but I'll give an example. When we see a prayer group move from like a back hallway or a library or a classroom out into a lobby or a hallway, that little move there is an answer to prayer because all of a sudden now they're visible and they're not doing it to be seen. But it's allowing people to understand this is what we're doing. This is what's happening. And for a student, you can imagine how that might be really intimidating to know, man, I'm going to stand out in the hallway and bow my head when there are hundreds of my classmates coming into school every morning and they're seeing what we're doing and I'm going to stand out. But that's a way, a simple way. One of the justice issues is about the academic environment of the school. And we're seeing schools' ratings literally change. And there's a video we just posted, I think within the last couple of days, and we were just talking about this morning. It's kind of going viral right now, and I would encourage everyone, go to the Claim Your Campus Facebook page, and you can watch it, and you can see the story of how academically a school changed as a result of prayer. They went from an F-rated to an A-rated school, and since that video was made, this school now has become the number one college-ready school in their state. And this is from a very marginalized and economically depressed area where over two-thirds of the students are on free and reduced lunch. 85% of the students don't live with their biological father. Like, a lot of challenges at this school, but it's transformed. This is a public school, and the principal's on record saying prayer is what changed and transformed the school. We're seeing violence decrease in schools. We're seeing so many things happen, and that's what we all know listening to this, that I believe the more specific and strategic that we are when we pray, the more we're able to see and understand and watch God work.
Oh, we are seeing the exact same thing. And what I think is so cool is not only are we praying for salvation of our students, but we're also praying for the well-being of our community as well, and recognizing that we're praying that they're healthy, that they have opportunities to learn and be exposed to truth in all areas. This is not just see them converted, which we want to see them come to know and love Jesus, but we also want our teachers to be excellent, for our students to prosper, for families to be reconnected. And this is really holistic ministry.
Yes, it is. And that, of all the ministries that I'm connected to and what we're doing, there's a couple that really stand out. And you guys really are at the top with moms that are praying and knowing what you guys have done to lay a foundation for this generation. And it is holistic, because when moms are praying, and there is nothing more powerful to me than a praying mom, when moms are praying, there is something that's happening, and that is touching that family. And I think one of the most powerful and unstoppable forces is a mom that is praying in earnest for their kids and for schools. And that is happening. And again, I just wanted to be clear that we credit so much of what God is doing through Claim Your Campus to engage students because of moms in prayer, because you've laid the foundation and it is making a difference to draw something that's cross-generational. Again, that Psalm 145:4, one generation will commend your works to another. And that's been the story as we've come alongside each other, moms in prayer and Claim Your Campus, to see this wonderful thing happening. Where in the next 4 years, we can have a student-led prayer group in every middle and high school. We think it's possible, and we're really going for it.
Well, moms in prayer moms, let's pray and see that happen too. What a remarkable change could occur if we could have student-led prayer in every campus and a moms in prayer group in every campus. You know, Jeff, that we love you guys, but you are also working with Claim Your Campus too. And Doug Clark and the Claim Your Campus friends are no stranger to Moms in Prayer. How is that union coming together? And see you at the poll is coming up real soon. Why is that also important for students to be involved in?
See you at the poll is an opportunity. It's a launch point. As we came along as a ministry and started to connect with Doug Clark and Billy Beacham at See at the Pole, our hearts started to really be drawn together. What we call our two ministries is one's a moment, one's a movement. And moments are important because moments matter. And See at the Pole matters because it's important that students have that defining moment to start that school year and say, we're going to pray for our school and watch God work. And that's why See at the Pole is so important. And I think it's one of the most phenomenal movements in American history. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, 10 freshmen in 1990 in Burleson, Texas, on a Sunday night, very discreetly went to a school and prayed. And from that, this movement was birthed. I mean, long before the internet. And to see what has happened, this worldwide phenomenon, and from everything that I understand, it's still the largest prayer movement in the world today. It's a worldwide phenomenon where millions of people are engaging. And that's why we have really done everything we can at Claim Your Campus to promote See at the Pole to a new generation. It's been 30 years now. Some students now, I mean, obviously it's existed way before they were born. So we want them to understand it. And I think one of the other reasons that it's important is that it's an opportunity to boost the weekly prayer presence at schools from students. Mm-hmm. So we're telling students around the country, make sure you're there at See at the Pole, and then let people know about Claim Your Campus. Let them know that it's happening and that they can be a part of it.
That's powerful. And we want moms to help support See You at the Pole. Pray around your students on that day. Jeff, history's going to change. I have a shirt that says so in 2020 of this year. And we are believing with you that this is going to be a holy moment. Tell us what you're planning in the summer of 2020.
Yeah. July 4th weekend, we are hosting an event called Claim Your Campus 2020. It is a joint effort with you guys at Moms in Prayer, with 50 organizations. We are joining together next summer for an event. And I mentioned earlier Woodstock and the Asbury Revival. And if there's a way I could explain what we're expecting and asking and believing God to do, it will be taking those two things and combining them, a Woodstock moment, an outdoor festival concert event, and a revival where God truly touches us. And we're hosting this event on July 4th weekend, next summer, 2020. And it's happening July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, all throughout the weekend. So Friday night through Sunday morning, 4 sessions from the stage. So as you're listening to this, just picture a music festival with a specific purpose to equip students to go back to their school and do 3 very simple, tangible, measurable things. Number 1, participate in a weekly prayer group through Claim Your Campus. Number 2, know how to verbally share their faith with their friends. We're going to train every student how to share their faith. And number 3, what they can do to serve on their campus, either through a service project or something ongoing. So prayer, care, share, 3 basic things. And we want students from 10,000 schools to be there. It's an event where you show up. It's not a general admission in terms of just sign up and go randomly, but you actually sign up as a representative of your school. And so on the website, we've got every school listed. It's not a school sanctioned thing, obviously, but we want to know who's there from what school. And this event, what we're saying is, it's a moment to mobilize a movement. It will be a moment in that field. It will be a mobilization effort to train and equip them that weekend, and then it will be a movement back home. So just picture, as you're listening to this, 10,000 schools, 100,000 students there, gathered in the middle of the country in Kansas. And this may sound totally crazy to people, but we are meeting at this property in Kansas. It's a youth camp property, about 700 acres. And we're meeting out in the field. Students will be camping, staying nearby in Kansas City maybe, and driving in from hotels. But it is an outdoor weekend, and we are calling the nation together for a moment that will mobilize a movement of prayer and sharing the gospel at schools around the country. And through this event, we hope to get to every school by the year 2023. So if we can get 100,000 students there, we think we can increase that mobilization to 1 million by 2023. That would be 15 students meeting every week at every middle and high school in the country, 67,000 schools. So Claim Your Campus 2020, it's what we've called it. ClaimYourCampus2020.com is the website. Adults, you play an absolute critical role in this, because we want adults to be a part of this movement, and we're asking that adults would be a part of it. And what an adult does is they go to the website, they find a school, they register that school, and that allows and enables, it unlocks that school so that students can then register. We call those adults adult advocates. We're looking for 10,000 advocates out there that would sign up that school and then bring a group of students. So our number one audience, we believe, is moms. We think that moms will be the ones that turn the tide for this event. So as you're listening to this, I just want to encourage you to consider what it would look like for you to be an advocate. It's $99 to do it. That unlocks the school, that gets you a ticket to the event. It's $49 for kids to go. It's super cheap. We will have bands there. We've got For King and Country already on board. We've got other artists that we're announcing soon. Amazing speakers, breakouts, activities, lots of fun things happening. But it is a mobilization event. And so we've been praying, as you're listening to this, just join us in prayer for God to raise up 10,000 advocates. We're asking and believing that he will. And we believe this moment will be historic because of what God will do when he meets those students in that generation out in that field in Kansas.
Well, we want to come alongside you, encourage our friends to get involved. Jeff gave you that website, but we're going to have all of this. If you're driving right now or folding laundry, you can find all that information, those links, in the show notes of this podcast on the website at momsinprayer.org. Jeff, we love you guys and are looking forward to seeing what God does as we partner together and launch this generation into all that God has for them. Jeff, would you close us up in a time of prayer together?
Absolutely. Father, first I pray that you would meet us in that field in Kansas next summer, and that those listening, that you might be calling them right now to join us. I thank you for the ministry and the movement of Moms in Prayer, for the leadership, for the foundation that they have laid for so much. I've often wondered what it would be like if Moms in Prayer didn't exist. I can't imagine all the difference that we would be seeing. I believe that because of Moms in Prayer and those listening and engaged in this movement in the United States and around the world, Lord, you've done so much to not only protect schools, Lord, but to bless them. But I believe that as a result of moms that have been praying for several decades now, and those listening maybe are newer to this movement, Lord, that you have blessed this movement in a supernatural way. And I want to pray that continued favor and blessing. Lord, when I think about Moms in Prayer, I think about the potential that there'd be a mom in every school in the world that would be praying for a school and a campus. Lord, how incredible that would be to see that and to experience a world where there's a prayer covering in every school in the world, Lord, and may it be so. We thank you for the vision and the calling that you've given to the leadership, that you laid it upon Fern Nichols' heart to start this ministry. Now, Sally Burke and her leadership and what Lee is doing in this podcast, Lord, and how you're blessing and increasing the influence of this podcast, Lord, and of the ministry And so, Father, for a mom listening right now, I want to pray for moms listening, God, that you would encourage them. They may be facing some great challenges with their own kids. They may feel hopeless, Lord, right now. They may be asking the question, are my prayers making a difference? And I also want to pray, God, as I pray for students often, that you would show them, that you would confirm in them, Lord, that you would continue to bring something inside of them, both internally and externally, to help them remember and know and understand how powerful and what a difference their prayers are making. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be a part of this work together. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do here, especially next summer at Claim Your Campus 2020. We're so grateful that Moms in Prayer is a part of this special event that you've been organizing. There have been people praying for 40 years for this to happen, Lord, and now it's happening. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but after listening to Jeff, I am convicted to pray and take a look at where we're using our resources as a church family. Are we investing in the next generation? Are you? Am I fervently praying for revival and spiritual awakening in the next generation? This week, I want to directly ask you to give to Moms in Prayer. There's so much more that we want to do, booklets and languages that we've been asked to translate into, resources that need developing, and some of that is slowed down by a financial need. Can you help us fix that? It's easy to give by jumping on the website or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. Pray about it, will you, friend? Just a reminder that you can find our show notes for today's episode and more about today's guest found at the blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference. Moms believing God for the next generation. Moms just like you. See you next week.